Commission on...
Good morning. It's a real blessing for us to be here with you this morning. We look forward to visiting all of our supporting churches, and we normally share a PowerPoint presentation. God knows all that goes behind what happened this morning, but our computer got left at home, and so we're not sharing that with you this morning. We will have to try to plan another time, because we really would love for you to see a visual presentation of what God has done through your prayers and support as you have prayed for and supported us in going to Togo, West Africa. But we're delighted to be with you here, and we have more than what we can even share with you during this time. So we look forward to the time around the tables as well, and just look forward to being able to share with you. For our friends with Wycliffe, you probably bump into my sister-in-law, Sharon McGrath, from time to time. Sharon works in the office there in Toronto. What a godly heritage to have parents and families who love the Lord. And for Gibbs' side of the family, he just has the one sister, Sharon, and his mom and dad prayed when their children were young, prayed that God would use their children, and God did. He sent Sharon over to Papua New Guinea and then to the Philippines and now back home to Canada, sent us to Africa, and I think of the sacrifice that it was for them to send their two children, but they did it with joy in their hearts, and they thanked the Lord for providing an answer to their prayer that God would use their children for the Lord. And we have a godly heritage, and we're so thankful for that. This last year saw us celebrate several milestones. We celebrated our 40th wedding anniversary in 2014. We celebrated 35 years with the mission, ABWE, formerly known as Association of Baptists for World Evangelism. That was our U.S. and Canada name that we went under. But when the Canadian office separated and became their own entity several years ago, they kept the letters, but changed it to Across Borders for World Evangelism, because a number of our Canadian missionaries work in countries where it's just better not to have the word Baptist in your name. And so we go by ABWE still, just with a slightly different acronym that goes with it. But we thank the Lord for the wonderful way he has blessed our lives, for 35 wonderful years of serving under ABWE. 30 years ago, last July, we went to Togo for the first time. And God has just blessed our family in many, many ways that we can't begin to share with you this morning. We're thankful that our children grew up on the field and had that opportunity to live in a third world culture. It really is a wonderful opportunity, and I know that they live back here in Canada now differently than what they would have if they had never been overseas, because they were exposed to seeing how other people in the world live, and that gives you a totally different perspective on life. And so we're thankful for that opportunity to raise our children there. The verse that God gave us back in 1979 when we went to candidate class was Psalm 32, verse 8, that says, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye." And that verse was not only very crucial in our lives at that point in time to see God show us the specific place in the world where he wanted us to serve him, but it's a verse that has gone on through our whole life, through our whole ministry. God has changed our direction a number of times. He brought us home for a period of time in the 90s when there was political upheaval in Togo, and brought us back home to Canada to take care of schooling for our children, and put us back in the province of Quebec where we had done our language study before going to Togo. Humorously, I remember in language school in Quebec City kind of saying to God, "I'm so thankful that you're sending us to hot Africa." We were right near the equator, so it was hot year-round, because I'm not a real winter person. But God saw fit to bring us back home in the 90s and to put us right back there in Quebec. And, you know, when you're in the place where God wants you to be, you will be very happy and content. And God gave us 4 wonderful years working alongside of Word of Life, as well as helping in a small missionary language school there, where we were able to help prepare other missionaries for going overseas to French-speaking countries. And so God gave us a change in ministry for a period of time, then took us back to Togo. And as we went back this last year, we went back in March of 2014 for our final few months on the field. Our main purpose during that time was to finish transferring our responsibilities that we had had on the field over to others, because we weren't planning to go back again full time. And so we worked on that. But then one of the main goals that we had personally was to be able to go back and encourage our colleagues as well as our national brothers and sisters, to encourage them and to just challenge them to keep going for the Lord. And God allowed us to have the wonderful privilege of traveling throughout the country, right from the capital city on the coast in Lomé through to the northern part of the country, because we had worked in a number of locations throughout the country in all of our years there. And he allowed us the privilege of being able to go back to the churches that we had worked with and to be able to encourage them. But more than that, God gave us the wonderful blessing of being encouraged by them and seeing the excitement of people going on for the Lord. And that is such a wonderful blessing, because that's the main reason we go. We go to take God's word, to share with them, to see people saved, to see them discipled, to see them grow in the Lord, to see them start churches. And the ministry of ABWE over these years now, there are more than 90 churches throughout the country. And what a delight to go back and visit and to see these works continuing on for the Lord. That's what it's really all about. And we're so thankful that God has given us the privilege of being able to be involved in that ministry. Our time was just such a special few months that we had back there. We did most of our travel by taxi because we didn't have a vehicle of our own. And that in itself was an experience. Taxis are small and not necessarily the most roadworthy vehicles in our mind, but God saw fit to take us safely from one place to another. One particular time, we got in a taxi to head on a 5 to 6 hour drive to take us back down to the capital city, and we loaded our things in the back of the car, and we got in, and then when the driver got in, he proceeded to put a helmet on. And we had never seen in all of our days in Togo a taxi driver wear a helmet. And I actually got my camera out, and from the side in the back seat there, I slyly took a picture of him, because I thought, we've never seen this one before. And I remember whispering to Gibb, like, what does this indicate? Like, is this guy a wild driver? What adventure are we in for? But, you know, we got safely to our destination. We don't really know why he chose to wear a helmet, but it was just another one of our African experiences to live through. We're just so thankful for all that God has done over these years, and so many more exciting ministries yet to happen in Togo. Continue to pray for the people there. This Thursday is a very special day. It is the official opening, the inauguration of the Hospital of Hope in the northern part of the country, in the town of Mongo, that is about 70% Muslim population. And so we've been living there. Many of our missionaries have been there for about an 8-year period of time, building the hospital, and it's now coming time to open that hospital. And so Thursday, there will be several thousand people, no doubt, there, hopefully including the president of the country, who has visited already during the construction period of time and who has a very keen interest in what we're doing there. Many dignitaries from all around the country will be there. And a ministry that is geared primarily to the Muslim population, although they will treat people who are non-Muslim as well. But God is already opening the door, and we are already seeing Muslims receive Jesus Christ as their Savior during the ministry that our missionaries have had in that town over these last 8 years, as they've been building relationships and then seeking opportunities to have Bible studies with people. Even one of the imams asked one of our missionary men if he could have a Bible study with him. And so God is really working and opening the doors. pray specifically, because just in the last couple of weeks, it's interesting to see with the culmination of that building program, I think the imams and the Muslim population there are realizing that there is more to this hospital than just physical care, and that is very true. They're there not only to meet the physical needs of people, but to meet their spiritual needs as well. And so through the mosque, they ask to have their people praying that the young people would not be taken away by other doctrines. And so pray, because we know that Satan is at work, but our God is stronger. And we know that God has a great work to do there. We have three pilot families that just arrived on the field at the end of December. And God is opening up the whole ministry through aviation, not only to get doctors and medical cases back and forth between our two hospitals in the country, but to allow us to go into areas that we have not been able to breach into by vehicle on the roads. And so God is opening up a great door there. Also in Mongo, where this hospital has been built, we're in the process of opening up a radio station that will be geared primarily to reaching the Muslim population. And so many great things continue to happen in Togo. In some ways, we would love to be there this week. We'd love to be there for the opening of that hospital. March 2nd, they will actually open the doors for the first patients to be treated there. But God had a plan for us to come back home, and we know that. We're content to be in that plan, although it is a major, major change for us to come back home. Someone asked us just in the last couple of weeks about the cultural changes that we experienced in going overseas, and there were many, but there are many cultural changes in coming back home as well. And we don't always think of that, but even though our skin color and everything about us makes us look like we're Canadian and we're meant to be here, there are lots of ways we don't feel like we totally fit in again. And so pray that God will help us. Pray that God will also open the door and show us exactly what he wants us to do. We're not home to sit in a rocking chair. We're home to be involved in church-related ministry here at home, and we're asking God to show us what he has for us next. So thank you so much for your prayers for us, and we look forward to sharing with you after.
I want to say also how glad we are to be here with you folks today. Our home and sending church is Central Baptist in Brantford. And it was 1979 we were first appointed with ABWE to go to Togo, 10 years after the field of Togo was opened by ABWE. And for all of our ministry there since then, since we arrived in 84, we have experienced God's blessing. And how his word has gone forth, touched people's lives. The church has been planted. People have been brought to Christ and discipled, and leaders as they are trained. It's a humbling experience to be involved in a ministry that God continues to show his greatness and his power, and to see lives changed, to see church established, and then to see the ongoing work of the ministry there as it continues. We are excited about the future of our ministry. Even though we're home on the field, as Marilyn has said, the work continues. And God is calling many new missionaries, several to go to the new hospital in Mongo, others in the south, where the ministry continues. And we're continuing to pray that God will, as he has done in the past, continue to bless his word as it is preached and taught, and as lives are impacted with the gospel. A well-known author has said that after all the history books have been written, after time passes out of existence, only two things will remain from this world. Only two things are eternal: God, his word, God's word, and people. And for these past 35 years, God has given us the privilege of being involved in teaching, preaching his word, in transforming and seeing people's lives transformed by the gospel. And it's been just a tremendous experience for us. We feel very humble that God, in his grace, has called us to this ministry. And we just thank him for all that he's been able to accomplish in us and through us during those years. We certainly do want to thank you folks here at Calden Hills also for your part in our ministry. It was, I believe, in 2001 we had a first contact with the church here. And at that time, you took on financial support and prayer support for us. And we do appreciate that so much. We have 18 supporting churches besides our own home church, and it's special to have those churches part of our ministry, our support team, as we've gone to the field, and we just thank God for your participation and your partnership with us since 2001. As we consider the subject of missions and how each one of us is involved in it in one way or another as believers in Christ, one of the important things is that we discern what God's will for us individuals, in his great program of missions around the world, whether it be here at home or in other parts of the world. The scriptures teach us that the will of God for his children is good, acceptable, and perfect. They also teach us that as believers in Christ, it is our responsibility to seek to walk under the control of the Holy Spirit in order to discern what God's will is, and then by his grace to perform it, to accomplish what God has for us for his, in his will, whatever that might be. And that has been our goal since we began our ministry with AWE and were appointed as church planters to Togo. We have discovered in our journey since 1979 with our appointment to the mission and to Togo that from time to time there have been situations which from a human perspective could make us wonder what God's will is, what God is doing as he brings different situations into our lives. Either by his planned will or his permissive will, he allows things to happen in our lives that sometimes we do not understand. And there are times when we wonder what God's will is, what is he doing as he brings these different situations into our lives. More recently for us, in particular during these last 3 years of this final term in Togo, we have confronted situations that we would not have chosen, things that we would not have planned. And yet God has brought us into those situations and by his grace brought us through them. And I'm sure that as you think of your lives and your service for God, you could say the same thing. As you look back and see how God has led you in the past, how he's leading you right now at the present, that there are situations that come in our lives that you don't understand what God is doing in his will. When those unexpected challenges come, it is not unnatural to wonder why, in working out God's plan for us, he has allowed those things to happen, or he's planned those things to happen. There are certain examples in Scripture of those who experience similar circumstances. We think, for example, in the Old Testament of the character Job, and all that he went through, all that God allowed him to go through in his life, and how that related to God's will for him. There's also the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, who in his ministry, a great ministry for God, experienced challenges that came into his life that I'm sure he did not understand what God was doing in his life as he worked out his will for him. There are some who would say that we are not being as spiritual as we should be when we ask God why these things happen. But I'm not sure, as I think about it, that it's not wrong to ask God why things happen, why challenges come in our lives, why in his will he allows certain things to happen in our lives that we don't understand. We can do that, but we have to at the same time seek the reasons for those events and seek to understand what God would have us learn from those experiences in his will as he works out his purpose in our lives. That's what I just want to mention or think about with you for a few minutes as we conclude our special Mrs. Emphasis Sunday here this morning. Many good books have been written, I suppose, on the will of God, what it is, how we discern it, how we can accomplish God's will for us. One book that I have read in the last while is written by Charles Swindoll, an author I'm sure who you know about. He has entitled his book, The Mystery of God's Will. And in that book, Charles Swindoll mentions the fact that God's will for us often is a mystery. We don't always understand what God is doing. We don't always understand how His will is being worked out in the challenges that come into our lives and the experiences that we face. Because we are finite human beings, we too often forget, as the author mentions in the book, that God's will is not some black and white objective equation designed to take us to an appointed destination here on earth as much as it is about the journey itself. It's not so much about our own well-thought-through mission, whatever God has for us in that mission for our lives, as it is about what matters to Him, what matters to God in our lives. Now, because we are limited in our understanding of how God's will works and why the challenges come sometimes, Swindle says that we think that God leads us in our journey through life in the same way that we lead ourselves. We think, he says, that He plans in the same way that we plan. But God's will is not like that. We know that is true because of what God says to Isaiah. You remember what He said to Isaiah in the Old Testament? As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are My ways higher than your ways, and My thoughts than your thoughts. And then in the New Testament, after his great explanation of justification by faith, the Apostle Paul, in the book of Romans, chapter 11, concludes by saying, "Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments, and unfathomable both His ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who became His counselor?" The great church father of the past, Origen, commented on what Paul meant when he penned those words in Romans chapter 11. Origen said, "Paul did not say that God's judgments were hard to search out, but that they could not be searched out at all. He did not say that God's ways were hard to find out, but they were impossible to find out. For however far one may advance in the search and make progress through an increasing earnest study, even when aided and enlightened in the mind by God's grace, he will never be able to reach the final goal of his inquiries." I think Origen would agree that God's will is often a mystery. The author of the book, Swindoll, suggests four simple principles that I think we need to consider in any discussion regarding God's will for us and how He works out His purpose in our lives. The first one is this: God's preferred method is surprise. God loves to surprise us. As I think about our own experience, I can think of many surprises that God has brought in our lives over these past years of ministry in Togo and also here in Canada. In 2007, one of those surprises meant me coming home for health issues when I was having some difficulties with fatigue. I discovered when we got home and I was examined that I had 3 blocked arteries in my heart. And during that time, that brief time home, thankfully they were able to treat that situation. We went back to the field. But that's one of those surprises that came in our lives, that we were not prepared for. We did not understand why. But God loves to surprise us. His method, preferred method, is surprise. The second principle Swindoll lists is that he says that God's surprises require on our part flexibility and adaptability. Plan B is needed. Marilyn made reference to the fact that we came home in 1993 because of the situation in the country that made the school move to Ghana and then to close. We had to come back home, and during that time we went to Quebec. That was a time when we had to be flexible and adapt, because that was one of those surprises that we were not prepared for. We had never thought of having to do that. We thought we were going to have our children with us until they were through their education. We could bring them back home and see them through university or college. But God surprised us by that situation as well. Third principle Swindoll lists is that behind God's surprises are purposes that we are not aware of. We must therefore remind ourselves that what happens is not a mistake. We should be asking ourselves, when those things happen, what we can learn from it. I believe the last time we were here a year ago, November, we talked to you folks about the situation at the Poganji Church where we were helping to bring that church to independence. We had the vote for the pastor, which was not accepted. And that whole situation developed into a time of confusion in the church. Finally, we had to withdraw from that situation. And the pastor I'd been working with, the national pastor, who we thought would be the pastor of the church, because he was not voted in as pastor, his situation changed as well. Now he's gone since then back up to northern Togo where he came from, and he's now working up there with the youth ministry and also pastoring a church. And that's one of those things that we were not aware of. We had to understand. He had to understand also that even in this difficulty that made a change for him and for us, because we finally withdraw from that church and leave it back with the mother church, we had to learn how to adapt and to learn that God's will in that situation was not a mistake. God had other purposes in mind, and he has gone on to fulfill those. Finally, the fourth principle is that when God surprises us, he supplies sufficient grace to handle the unexpected. When we look at the back and the surprises that come into our lives, we can see how God's grace has enabled us, his sufficient grace, to bring us through those situations, and we thank God for that. Wouldn't you agree that we have all experienced at one time or another some of those surprises that God brings into our lives as he works out his will and purpose in us? When those surprises happen, when those situations come that make us wonder why God is doing things the way he is, we've all discovered that those times can be very unsettling. We can become frustrated because we don't understand what God is doing. We don't have the ability to see where he is leading us. But in the process of going through those situations, at the same time, those surprises provide us with the opportunity to learn and to grow, to increase our trust in God, knowing that he doesn't make mistakes. And in the book, what the author is saying is that we need to learn how to view those surprises when they come from a vertical perspective and not from a horizontal perspective, and how true that is. God has a greater purpose in mind that we may never understand. But as we learn how to put those things in vertical perspective, we can learn and we can grow. There's a great passage of scripture in Romans chapter 8 that we all know very well. In fact, it's your memory verse that you've already mentioned this morning. And I believe that these verses here in Romans chapter 8 help us to establish that vertical perspective, to think biblically, to think theologically, rather than from a human perspective when those surprises come. And in that passage, I'd like to read just a couple of those verses in Romans chapter 8, because in that passage, I think there are four principles that provide us through instruction and encouragement to help us learn how to understand and to follow God's will, how to have that vertical perspective, how to think biblically. In Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 25, we read, "But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren." Just let me mention those four principles in these few verses that help us to establish that vertical perspective, how to think biblically, how to think properly when those surprises come as God works out his will in our lives. The first one is this, in verse 25, we wait and we persevere. Paul says, but if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. When we don't see what we had hoped to see, we must continue to wait on God and to persevere. And that waiting and that persevering requires a confident faith and trust to know that God is working out his purpose. Second principle is in verse 26 and 27. We face the test, the challenge ahead of us, head on, but on our knees. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. When situations come in our lives, when surprises come into our lives we had not expected, we pray, but we often don't know how to pray because we don't understand what's happening. We may not know how to pray about a situation in those moments, but in that time, we have the assurance that the indwelling Holy Spirit knows our need, and he intercedes for us. The Bible says, with groanings which are too deep for words. So to face that test head on, to face that challenge head on in prayer requires being submissive, being humbly submissive to God and to what he's doing. The third principle is that we rest in our sovereign God and in his plan, verse 28. God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. When we learn to think vertically or biblically, as Swindoll says in his book, we won't put a border around the all things. We'll let the all things be all things, to understand that in all that happens in our lives, God works out his will and purpose in us. And to rest in God's sovereignty like that, to trust in that way, to trust God in his plan for us, requires an unguarded flexibility. To be flexible, yes, but to trust that God is doing what is best for us and what will bring him the most glory. And then in verse 29, we remember that as we are being conformed to the image of Christ. So often we read this passage, we stop at verse 28. We need to understand what he says in verse 29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son. We need to remember that always, whatever happens, wherever he has called us to serve him, God is working out his purpose in us to conform us to the image of Christ. We certainly thank God for all we've been able to accomplish and see accomplished in the work in Togo. But even during all those years of ministry, God was continuing and is still continuing to work out his purpose in our own lives personally to conform us to the image of Christ. And whatever situation we face, God uses those situations as a step to conform us more and more to the image of Christ. And if we understand and apply those principles, Swindoll says in his book that we will be able to think biblically. We will be able to establish that vertical perspective when surprises come in our lives. And my hope as I share them with you and as I think about them in my own life is that we remind ourselves how to properly understand the mystery of God's will in order to live through it, those situations, and to live our lives in accordance with God's purpose for us. We haven't always understood why certain things have happened to us the way they have over these past years of ministry. We don't know what surprises God has for us personally in store as we look forward to the future and our ministry here in Canada, whatever that might be. And I'm sure as a local church that God has brought you through some difficult situations in the past, and there may be more in the future. We never know what is planned for us according to God's will in the future. But as we go through those experiences, as we look at the future, and even though we don't always understand what's happening, We can learn how to think biblically, how to remain focused on God's will, how to rest in the truth that God is sovereign. We will live in a way which acknowledges the fact that because God is sovereign, because he is in full control, he takes the responsibility for the results. Our part is not to do that, but our part rather is to walk in his will, in confident faith, in submissive humility, with an unguarded flexibility, and a willing sensitivity, knowing that he that has begun a good work in us will perform it. He will complete it, and we can be sure of that. I trust that these thoughts, as we have shared with them, will help you and help all of us as we seek to understand the challenges that come in our lives, to understand why, as certain things happen in our lives according to God's will, he is in control. He knows the best for us. And as we learn to think biblically and vertically, we can put those principles into practice because God will accomplish his will in us. Lord bless you.